Welcome to the Discipleship Pathway Podcast. Our podcast exists to help people take their next step in Christ. Every disciple needs a plan in following after Christ. The road's not easy. The road's not always clear. Our hope is to provide simple resources to help people on the journey along the way.
Welcome back to the Discipleship Pathway Podcast. I'm Chris Kurtz, Pastor of Mobilization Anthem, sitting here with Matt Dennings, our lead pastor, and we're excited to just continue to walk down through stewardship and these steps. If you recall the last podcast, Matt was able to set up some of, hey, what got to developing this material? And then we talked about having a vision, kind of where you've been. And today we're going to talk about clarifying your priorities. And so, Matt, I'll kick it over to you just to give a little bit of a setup for what we're going to be covering here.
Yeah, so if we now have gotten a picture for where we want to go, it's going to be a journey. So you don't want to attempt to land at your destination after a week. So the question is, how do we start? How do we prioritize what we're going to be investing in up front? Mm-hmm. So the reason why this is important is if I am, let's say, a you know, late 30s male myself, if I'm at a place where I'm going, okay, I want to make investments in where my three kids are hitting that like middle elementary school age, going to junior high. I want to invest in this next phase of my marriage. Perhaps there are things like career-wise that I want to invest in. Maybe there are things with my walk with God, or maybe I've been in a place where physically I haven't been attentive to, because maybe I just came out of 15 years of raising kids and starting mm-hmm. a career, and I'm going, oh man, I want to physical health. I want to address it. I've been stressed out in my mind. Haven't been taking care of myself. My diet. What are the areas of life where it's like you're not going to be able to? Then also, I want to, my finances, and then hobbies and friendships and on and on and on. Well, if you try to do all of it, and sometimes some of these areas are at odds in some ways with one. Mm-hmm. If you're trying to start a business and you're trying to like launch all your hobbies, probably not going to be the best time to do it. You can't do it at the same time.
Yep.
You're going to launch a business, you don't have time for hobbies for a season, mm-hmm. right? Do the hobbies later after you launch the business. Anyways, things like that. So priorities are determining where do we focus that energy in this specific season of life.
Yeah, so that's a helpful setup. How does this material flow down through as far as getting started? What are people going to be looking at and walking through when
they pick this up? Yeah, so the first thing outside of just the importance of priorities is really framing it biblically in terms of there are also, we come to a place in life, and we'll talk about this when we go through the different stages in the spiritual journey, but there's a place where I think it's very helpful to pause and go, listen, biblically, there is something about kind of coming to terms with the lot in our life. Mm. And what I mean by that is we are in different seasons of life and find ourselves in different circumstances and with certain realities that are by God's design. And in acknowledging those things, now, of course, there are some things like, hey, I need to acquire, I don't have knowledge, and I'm in high school, and I want to become an engineer or a banker or something like that. I need to acquire knowledge. Mm-hmm. I'm just going, well, my lot in life is I don't know what it means financially. I don't have my MBA. Well, go get it. It doesn't mean you don't resolve things.
Yeah.
You're in circumstances maybe that are abusive or not healthy. Doesn't mean you're just passive. Mm-hmm. No. What this is saying is that there are things in life that are it's your background, it's your geographical location, it's your skill set, your abilities, and acknowledging Psalm 16, 5-6, the Lord is my chosen portion and my cup. You hold my lot. The lines have fallen for me in pleasant places. Indeed, I have a beautiful inheritance. For instance, if you're hardwired as a person who's more introverted or extroverted, or you're hardwired as somebody who's more mechanically minded, and so you're going into engineering or architecture, you're somebody who's more business minded, or maybe you're more of a nurturer and you're going into more of a helping profession. Like, this is what this is talking about, and that's not a flaw that you're not also a rocket scientist and also right, like there is an inheritance here or a design here, and it's saying however God has designed you, that's beautiful, and wherever God has placed you, that's beautiful. The fact that all of us listening to this are in the 21st century, that's a beautiful gift from God that He's placed us here. And these are things that we kind of there's an aspect of accepting that that's where we're beginning, and acknowledging that's where we are. God acknowledges it. He says that's a beautiful thing. And we can acknowledge it and start there. So that's one of the first things, is just walking through that, because I think a lot of times when we start talking about planning and life, we tend to jump right over the acknowledgement of that and looking at that. So there's an aspect of walking through that. But then it becomes, okay, so what do we give a yes to? There's there's a business leader named Michael Hayek or Hyatt, not Hayek. That's a libertarian thinker. But Michael Hyatt, and he has this statement where he says, if you're going to say no to some things and prioritize specific things, you have to have a bigger yes. Right? You have to have a bigger yes and understand what is that thing. And so the thing that we do next in this is we walk through what is that yes? What are the things that right now are important that you would say yes to?
Yeah. I think a quick note that you're hitting with, like, accepting our lot, like what do we say yes to? It's just this aspect too of we have so much more access to see all the other things that people can be doing. Like I could be doing, like social media is rampant, right? And it's like, oh, I could be in Florida doing this thing, or I could be traveling in Europe. I could be doing remote work here. It's kind of, we hit a little bit on the last, like there's endless options, and there's also just endless things that you see other people doing. And it's like, well, should I be doing that? I don't know. And we are finite, right? So we can't do all those things, but I think there has to be an awareness with kind of like what those things can do to our soul with like, helping. That's an issue that I have when I see some of those things. It's like, I like that idea and I should do that thing. It's like, that's not what the Lord has for me. And also, I can't be everything everywhere all the time.
That's I'm really glad that you brought that up, because the waters that we swim in now, the assumption that we all live with is that freedom, life, joy, flourishing is found in absolute freedom from constraints. That is a lie. It's a lie. One, you are not designed. You physically cannot live. I can't eat whatever I want, you know, take whatever illicit drugs I want, have all the experiences I want, and expect that life is going to turn out okay. Yeah. So one, on one level, we know that. But the other thing is, that's an extreme. But the other thing, true freedom biblically is found, the way the Bible presents it, what I mean is biblically what the Bible presents is true freedom, joy, peace, thriving, flourishing, is found in choosing the right constraints, committing to the right constraints. I cannot run around and flirt with a whole bunch of women at the gym and expect also to have a healthy marriage. I can't be running around and always busy and always trying to hang out with people and go make the next dollar 24/7 and expect to also be able to be a dad who's present. You can't. We're not omnipotent. We're not omnipresent. We're not omniscient. We're not all-knowing. We're not all-powerful. We're not all-present. We're not God. So therefore, we are finite, and that's part of our created reality. And so some of our lot is acknowledging God is God and we are not. And leaning into His design and saying, but what are the things He's placed in our life, and how do we commit to those things and in some way limit or constrain our freedoms? So I'm glad you brought that up, because that way you're saying, like, I'm saying yes, I'm saying no to all the other things outside my marriage, and a lot of big, beautiful yeses to what's within my marriage.
Yeah.
I want to prioritize that.
The phrase that you've used that I've really liked is like, choose your hard. Like, what's the hard that you want to choose? Do you want to choose the hard of like cultivating a healthy marriage and like your kids and those things? Like, that is hard. That's difficult. But that's what the Lord has given you versus the hard of, yeah, an unhealthy marriage because there's all these other things going on, or you're really busy. And it's like, what hard do you want to choose? And I think this really helps you kind of like, hey, choose those things, like make a decision, make choices. Where does the Lord have you? And especially where does he have you focusing for this next season?
And that's, and when you realize, because I think we're meant to be, faithfulness is meant to lead to fruitfulness. That's the promise of Scripture. When you're faithful and you follow Christ, it leads to fruitfulness. And that's when you go, man, this is hard. But when I'm faithful, you see fruit. And of course, that's on a spectrum. We have to be careful how we try to put God in a box and I expect this kind of fruit. But by and large, when you walk in wisdom, I mean, wisdom is just truth in action, practically in action. When you invest and follow the Lord's leading, there is a fruitfulness. And when you see that, man, that was hard, yes, but I chose and I committed and I constrained myself and I put in that work and it was focused. When you see the fruit, well, now the hard makes sense.
Yep.
Now the hard is something you can endure. So yeah, I love that you brought that up. So the tool then that is here is the Eisenhower Matrix. So this is pretty ubiquitous in all, you know, if you read strategy, books on strategy, leadership, even life planning, you're going to come across this. So it's probably not really novel to a lot of individuals. But this is something developed by Dwight Eisenhower. That's why it's called the Eisenhower Matrix. It's something that he developed while being the president and realizing there are a lot of demands, a lot of shoulds, a lot of things that people are saying, you got to do this, you got to prioritize this. And so there were always these urgent things coming through the door. And he found that his administration couldn't get ahead on a lot of the priorities they had, the things that they wanted to build on, those things that didn't exist. You know, we're right in the middle in Missouri. We're only miles away from where they began the interstate highway system. What we now know as freeways. They didn't exist everywhere. We had old 63, and that's what everything would have been, this small little two-lane highway. That's what crisscrossed the country. The freeway system was developed as we know it now, which has revolutionized everything. That, for instance, would be one key initiative that they had. Well, no one. There were no urgent matters coming up where everyone was like, well, we need these roads. No, they already had roads. They're fine. So they had to choose that was going to be important, but it wasn't yet urgent. So I'm getting ahead of myself. But what he did was he created a matrix or a way of thinking of what separating out, what are the urgent matters, and then what is important. Important tend to be the things that are coming up down the road. You have to invest now. So important is when you do those regular checkups with the doctor. Important is when you're reading your Bible every day and just cultivating that time and space with God. Important is studying for every day after you go home from your lecture, going back over and reviewing the notes, right? Now, the urgent is the test is tomorrow. the urgent is you have a lump forming and you hadn't caught it. The urgent is my marriage is in a crisis and we haven't spent time together in a long time. So the urgent is the thing that's here now and is demanding your attention, right? It has to have your attention. So the trick is to be spending a predominant amount of your time and energy focused on the things that are important but not yet urgent. However, you know, if you don't give them time, they will become urgent. And so priority is, because or else what happens is your life will be an endless series of urgent things. And some of us have jobs where, like when I worked at Starbucks, right, when I was in school, it was just the urgent. Somebody walked in and I need this right now, right? Yep. Some of us have jobs that exist in a lot more of the urgent. If you're an EMT, you're living in the urgent, right? But still, even then, you're preparing. If you're a firefighter, you're preparing throughout the week. You don't wait until the urgent moment when the bell rings. You're preparing throughout the week on the important things so that when the urgent comes, you're ready. And it's in the same way that in our lives, this matrix, and you know, it's there, you can walk through it, and it asks you what are the things in your life that tend to be the urgent. I think that a lot of our modern lives are both, in a real way, because of a lack of kind of preparation, exists in the urgent, because life is full of urgent things. I have three kids. I have a few pets. If I did not prepare and plan ahead, my life would be nothing but the urgent. Most of us live our lives in that, especially for, like, gosh, little kid age, that phase of life. There are a lot of urgent things, a lot of demands, and it's hard to figure out what's what. So we have to take a step back and figure out, well, what is important right now to invest in? So that's what this walks us through.
That's good. So after, do people walk through that matrix specifically within this tool, or do they, and then beyond that, it goes down to, see here, assessing your priorities.
What it's, in terms of walking through that first, it's just going to kind of ask you, like, where do you spend most of your time?
Okay.
And one of the things I was going to say is, because we live in an urgent world, because we live in a world where things come up. You know, in the last few weeks, I've had a dishwasher break. I've had one of our freezers went out. And when we turned on our outside water spigot, water flooded our downstairs because one of the pipes had burst when it froze over the winter. And then I know something else. Like, all these things, those are urgent, all right? Surprise, you woke up. Welcome to a fallen world, right? Those things are going to come up.
Yeah.
So you got to make space for those urgent. So it walks you through, okay, what are the urgent things? Urgent, and then also, what are the urgent but maybe not important? Welcome. What fits there? What would those? Why would I do something not important but it's urgent? Welcome to busy email.
Yeah.
And 80% of your time on social media.
Yeah.
Most, I think there are so many things we willingly, because I think we're bored and we don't have direction, we are spending so much of our time in the not important.
Yeah.
But urgent. And it's the constant, you know, headline article that's here today, gone tomorrow. Oh, that thing that I thought was the end of the world. Actually, it was just somebody editorializing. There was no
substance. Here after the eclipse.
We didn't rapture away. And so I think that there is a it's going to walk you through that. So you reflect on what are the things that are coming to my life. And it does, as you do that, it does give you, I think, a holy discontentedness towards those things. I think it's good. I think it's good. Because I think we kind of go through life and we live, again, in an attention economy that's meant to keep us from thinking about this and being reflective about it. So it moves from that then to going, okay, now let's go. So what are the things that in this season of life you do need the focus on? So there's a, this is where we get into the domains. This is why we have this terminology, like domains versus like the plan versus what is this, and why we call it the stewardship. Because again, stewarding, biblically, stewardship is really investing in and making the most of the domains that God has placed you in. And so what we do is we just list out these different domains, which are things like your spiritual health, your emotional health, your physical health, your friendships, your dating or marriage relationship, your family and parenting, kind of separating those out, like family relationship, parenting, from just your marriage, vocation or your career, your recreation and rest, those hobbies, those things that literally kind of recreate you as you rest, education, finances, and there could be others, but we have these domains. These are areas of your life that you're going to have to give attention to at some point. And so the, it just has a simple chart where you rate 1 to 10. How am I doing? Okay. I'm a 3 out of 10, you know, not good. One being the worst, 10 being the best, just to make that clear. But I'm not, I don't feel like I'm doing well in this area, but then priority. And then they have you list 1 to 10, rank them. This area, like physical health, how much of a priority right now is it? Maybe you're doing great. And you're like, actually, right now it's like a 9 or 10. And on this list, that's like a 9 or 10. But my spiritual health, I haven't given any attention to that. Or my marriage, you know, or right now, maybe you're engaged and you're thinking about, you're in the process. Maybe that's like a 2 or 3. because I'm getting ready to get married. I'm graduating college and getting married. Or it could be I'm 60 years old. We just were empty nesters, fresh. We're getting ready to retire, and we feel like strangers. Mm. So maybe there was a season where it was a priority. Then over time, other things had to got prioritized, and now you're back to we got to figure out what this looks like in this season, so we don't end up being those who get divorced or just living as strangers together for this last season of life. So again, this is to assess then our priorities in order to figure out what's going to go into that important but not yet urgent. Now, some of these that are higher ranked, you might be starting to feel that they're urgent, but it's giving them that time and attention.
Yeah. So it sounds like this helps prioritize what goes, and you when you guys get this in front of you, you see there's like quadrant numbers. So like what goes in quadrant of important and important, not urgent, and then that actually helps. It's kind of one of the things, like when you have a better vision for those things, what should I be doing? What do I need to prioritize there? It helps you not spend as much time in the quadrant three then of like important but not urgent, and I'm bored, I'm on social media all the time. Those types of things. So it really, I think that's a byproduct that people will notice of this, is like when I actually see my priorities, it actually helps me kind of get rid some of those not as important things in my life that I just kind of do because I don't really know what else I should be doing right now.
Exactly. And again, this is meant to give you, we've said this multiple times, Paul says, run the race. The race is a marathon, not a sprint. And the race is run at the pace of grace. You only have so much time. Let me just say that again to free people. You do. You only have so much time. Now, I do think at different stages of life, we do have, I want to be careful in saying this, but most likely you do have more time than you think. Okay. Again, I say that as somebody who just exited the little years with my kids while also being very, very, very busy as far as with my job. I always found I did have more time than what I thought. You know, I would entertain and do things. And it's not to say that there isn't. You have to have those times. You have to have those times just to recalibrate and restart. But this is attempting to say, okay, but in this season, when I got all this different stuff going on, if I just chose, and what this does, it tells you, okay, what's priority one through three or four? And it says, pick the top three or four. And those are going to be the ones for whether it's the next year or 2 years, year and a half, whatever amount of time you feel you need, that you're going to develop a vision statement for. So what this step does, this is, okay, now you prioritize those, just choose the top. Maybe it's only, you only have time for two of them. Maybe it's four. I wouldn't say go beyond four. I think it's too much. And then write a vision statement for each. Okay, so I've said right now the priority of my life, one of them needs to be friendships. I've been go, burning the candle at both ends, starting a business, doing this, that. I just feel completely alone. Now I'm in my mid-30s and I've been giving myself to my kids. Like I'm a mom. I've been, you know, I'm now trying to figure out, do I start re-enter the, you know, my field? Do I not? But all of a sudden, I just need women around me. I realize I've got to prioritize friendships. Well, this is going to, then what you're going to do is develop a vision statement for, hey, in 2 years, and it's written in the present tense, and it walks you through that. This is the kind of friend or the kind of relationships I want to have. I want to have, and it walks you through where you write a statement in the present tense. So imagine it's 2 years from now. This is now true of me. I have friendships. I have 3 to 5 friendships in my life that are life-giving, that challenge me to follow the Lord, but I just know they're there for me. You can write that your own language. This doesn't have to be, you know, you don't have to be Hemingway.
Yeah.
You just write in your own language and you're crafting out, okay, and then define where you want to be with each of these areas 2 years from now, and then identify 3 to 4 scripture texts as guideposts for your thinking. So it's just, you're thinking maybe like friendship would be like Proverbs, places like that where it's like, I just know that iron sharpens iron. And I have women in my life.
Yep.
They sharpen my thinking. They sharpen my my competencies. They sharpen my convictions. And I have a sense that I am growing and I feel supported by them. Whatever that is. And then listening, sorry, I'm moving back from the mic. I have to get used to this. And then I'm listing out some of those verses and that statement.
Yeah.
And so what we have now is we're going, and really what this does is this is connecting you to that, why do I have this? And we're going to come back to that again in the next step, but really setting down, this is an area of my life. This is where I want to be.
Mm-hmm.
And by the way, this is one of those steps that you begin to see, how does forming those friendships, is that supporting, because we're not meant to do life alone, and but how does that help me? How is that a first step in this season of life towards that ultimate vision that I feel like God has placed on me for my life? And so it walks you through. You just go through those three or four. And what we say is, you know, whether you take out a yellow legal pad, go completely analog, or you bring your phone or your iPad and go somewhere and reflect on this. Okay, these four areas, and really reflect on, look at scripture. What are the areas in the calling that I feel like God has for me in this next year and a half, 2 year phase, what God wants me to focus on? And where do I want to be? Here's what I want my marriage to be. Here's what I want my physical health to be, whatnot. And so just with those different areas.
That's great. Well, any last things to kind of tie a bow on this?
Nope. I'm looking forward to jump to the next phase, which is going to be then. All right. So we've got a vision overall. Now we're looking at, what do we need to focus on now? The first step, mm-hmm. this first phase of life towards that. And then next we're going to begin to look at, okay, how do we actually plan this out?
Mm-hmm.
How do we actually plan steps? Because you can have a great vision, but now you've got to get even more micro down to those tiny steps to get there. So we're going to come back to that in the next episode.
That's great. Well, thanks for joining us.